Welcome to Literary Quest, a podcast hosted by us, Vicky and Marissa, where we discuss our favorite in fantasy fiction and hopefully can direct you in your quest to find your next great read.
Welcome to Literary Quest. This week, we're going to be discussing A Soul of Ash and Blood. It's the fifth installment from the Blood and Ash series by Jennifer L. Armentrout, and it is a retelling of the first book from Castiel's point of view. So I'll do our characters and Marissa will do our plot. So first we have Poppy. She is our main female lead. We learn in the previous book that she's a primal. She's still growing into her powers, but she is both feared and admired already. In this book, though, we see her as the maiden again. When Poppy was the maiden, she was only allowed to wear white, interact with the select few people, and was abused. She struggled with all of the rules and being confined, which led to her rebelling in some subtle ways, like she snuck out at times, read some dirty books, and learned to use a dagger and a bow. She was taught by her guard, Victor, who's almost been a father figure to her. She also utilizes her power of being able to sense people's emotions and soothe them to help people who are in distress and dying, specifically people who may have been bitten by Craven. Then we have Castiel. He's our main male lead. In the last book, he, Poppy, and Kieran completed the joining. They linked their lives together, and they're all very sensitive to each other's emotions. Since this is a retelling of the first book, Cass goes mainly by Hawk in the story. At the time, his plan was to kidnap Poppy and ransom her back to the queen in trade for his brother, Malik, who he believes is being tortured by the Ascendant. He becomes close to Poppy when he becomes her guard and gains her trust. However, before he knows it, he finds himself developing feelings. This puts a wrench in his plans because now he feels bad about trying to ransom her. And this book is from his point of view, going over what he was doing and what he was thinking in the first book. We have Kieran, Poppy and Castiel's best friend, maybe more. He is a wolven and was first bonded to Cass, but now is linked to both of them after the joining. In this book, he's helping Castiel work with the rebels to kidnap Poppy. He helps guide him a few times, and he's been incredibly supportive. As he gets to know Poppy in this book, he also becomes a friend to her. We also have Malik and Millie. We briefly see them in the present day part of this book. Malik is Castiel's brother and the one that Castiel was trying to save. It turned out that while he wasn't being tortured the same way Cass was when he was held hostage, he was doing it for love. Millie, who is also Poppy's sister in a way, is a revenant and cannot be easily killed. She and Malik fell in love, and that is why they stayed with the Ascendant. Just some refresher terms, because it's been a while since we used this terminology. There's the Ascended. They're a group of people who are very long-lived, they're fast, strong, and in our story, they maintain dominion over the populace. We also have Cravens. They're humans that were bitten by either another Craven or by an Atlantean, what we think. Their fingernails lengthen into claws, canines grow, and they become mindless, bloodthirsty monsters. Their presence is always preceded by a thick mist. And this it takes place in Macedonia in the past and Wayfair Castle in the present.
And just for clarification, the Cravens don't actually get bitten by Atlanteans and turn into Craven. That's the myth that the Ascended put out there.
Right. Yes.
They actually get bitten by the Ascended, who are like vampires. They're dependent on blood for sustenance. They can't go out in the sun. And the Atlanteans are who they pose as, like, the bad guys, basically, in this world.
Yes.
Yeah. It has been a really long time since we looked at these words.
I know.
And this whole mythology for this story.
Yes.
Yeah. Alrighty. So this book opens with Castiel, Kieran, Poppy, and Nectis descending into the vault beneath Wayfair Castle to free Poppy's father, Iris, who's been kept in a cage in his animal form for too long to be healthy by Poppy's mother slash the queen of the Ascended. Isbeth, or Queen Ileana, I think she also went by, yeah, So as our friends descend beneath Wayfair Castle, Cass and Kieran begin to notice that Poppy is becoming like paler and colder, and they can't really account for why, and they're concerned. And so they find Iris, and Poppy helps to liberate him with Nectus, and then Nectus takes Iris to Elysium to recover. However, while they're still in the vault, Poppy falls into a deep sleep, and Nectus warns Cass and Kieran that the sleep is necessary for Poppy to complete the culling so that she can become a primal. However, there is a chance that when she wakes up, she may not remember anything that has happened or who Cass and Kieran are or who anybody is. And so Nectus encourages them to talk to Poppy while she's sleeping. And so that's what Cass does. And he spends this book recounting the events from the first book, from Blood and Ash, but from his perspective. And so he, as Poppy is sleeping and is in the chambers with Castiel and Kieran and Delano, who is Poppy's wolven guardian, Castiel describes his thoughts and feelings about meeting Poppy at the Red Pearl, all of the scheming that went into becoming her guard, and how his feelings changed as he began to see her for who she really is, which is a real person who deeply cares about people rather than seeing her as just a figurehead who is being manipulated by the Ascended. He describes his guilt and regrets over Victor's death and how his feelings continued to grow for Poppy as they traversed the Blood Forest and eventually ended up in New Haven, and the way he fumbled revealing his true identity to Poppy as not just Castiel, Prince of the Atlanteans, but also as the Dark One. Interspersed between these chapters, we get brief glimpses of things that are happening in real time with our friends while Poppy continues to sleep, including the return of Poppy's sister Millicent, who's a revenant, and Castiel's brother Malik, who have been fighting off other revenants that served not just Isvith, or the Queen of the Blood Crowned, but also the return of Colas. And so they've been fighting off revenants. And Castiel and Kieran share conversations about the pain and shame and guilt that Cass felt shortly after being freed from the Blood Queen, but also with Malik's capture during that time. And Poppy, through the story, seems to be improving. She grows less cold, her skin less pale. But Cass wakes one night to find that a revenant has infiltrated Poppy's room, armed with weapons that Cass has never seen before, and is intent on killing him and Poppy. So, will Castiel be able to keep her safe? Spoilers abound.
How did you like this book?
So, I was genuinely shocked by how much I enjoyed this book. Like, I was not, you know, our expectations were basically on the floor. Because Castiel's perspective in the last book, I think it was The War of Two Queens, his chapters were not great. He was in prison, but a lot of it was describing like Poppy's like milky thighs and how much he missed having sex with her and things like that. And so I really did not think I was going to enjoy his perspective. And I am so glad that I was wrong. Because I really appreciated having his perspective in these stories, that it or in this story, like it was so good.
It was. So I too was concerned about it being all about her thighs, I guess. But yes, I was very pleasantly surprised, and I got into this really quickly once I did start it. So it was really
Yeah, totally
good.
agree. And I saw a couple of comments like that, and I'm wondering if part of the issue that people are having, maybe they didn't read the description and so didn't know, but I also know that like this is a popular series, and a lot of people are new in coming to this series. So if I had just read From Blood and Ash and this book came out, I would be like, oh, womp womp, like I literally just read the story. But
That's true.
it has been so long since I read From Blood and Ash, that for me, this felt like a really good refresher for what happened in the story. Also, I kind of enjoyed parts of Castiel's perspective, like more than I enjoyed Poppy's perspective in From Blood and Ash, because I definitely remember this on the second read. There was just so much introspection from Poppy. Just like we spent a lot of time inside her head, and it got tedious a couple of times. Like I remember skipping over whole sections of the story.
I agree with you. So I think this is interesting because I wanted to read them side by side. I was thinking about maybe one day I'll read them like together, but I was thinking like, what is like, so we know what Castiel's doing during all this time. Like he's going off with adventures and making plans and stuff. And I was like, what was Poppy doing during this? And then I was like, oh yeah, she was like monologuing in her head. Like, I wonder if it was sort of like a not filler. That's not the right way to say it, but like she didn't have anything to do. You know, Poppy didn't really have anything to do, so that's all she could do was think a whole lot.
I mean, and what a terrible life, right? But yeah, I mean, you're probably exactly right
Yeah.
because she went to like her lessons. She wasn't really allowed to socialize or be around other people. Like she could walk in the garden maybe sometimes, but she spent a lot of time by herself in her room.
Yeah.
So that is a lot of time in your head. And then how terrible that must be. Like how boring. How awful.
I don't want to be stuck in my head.
I don't either. It's hard in there. I don't like that. So
Yeah.
yeah.
And this one, I think this book is significantly longer than the first one. Wasn't the first one like 400 and something pages? And this one was 600 and something.
You know, I don't know. I feel like the first book was pretty long.
Really? I
I'll
don't
look it
remember
up.
now. But.
It seems like it was long. Maybe it just felt like a long time. Oh yeah, no, it was only 428 pages, so you're right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so this one's
boy,
long.
it just felt just felt long. But to be fair, there's like 12 chapters in this book that are not, they're told from the present instead of a flashback, so
Yeah. Well, there's also more that happened, like to document with
yeah.
Castiel or Hawk that he was going by at the time, whatever. You know, so there's more to write, I guess. I don't know. Oh gosh, but at the very beginning, there were what, 7 pages of name pronunciations?
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
I texted this to you too. I was like, she just needs to start naming some of her characters like Bob. So,
Yeah.
because so many of the characters too, it's not like there's Malik and Malik and they're pronounced opposites of what you would think they would be. I can't, it's just a lot.
It is a it's a lot.
It's a lot. 7 pages is a lot. Especially when they're similar names. So, I am thankful that there is a pronunciation guide.
Yes, it is
I
nice.
am very
I'm
glad to
always
have that.
grateful for a pronunciation guide.
Yes. So my very first note in the book was, if it ends with Poppy waking up and going, "Who are you?" or "Where am I?" I'm going to be very angry. I was concerned about that, and I'm still somewhat concerned about that. Because I don't want a book where Poppy has amnesia and they're trying to either get her memory back or have to like re-teach her and be like, "No, you love me, remember?" I just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I've read a story with the amnesia trope. I probably wouldn't know. I don't like that. I don't like the idea of that at all.
I could see somebody waking up and just being like, "Where am I?" Because
Oh, yeah.
that makes sense. So that's what I thought she was gonna do, is end on, "Where am I?"
Yeah.
And then the next book would be like, "Nah, she just was confused about where she was waking up."
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. Nectis told them so dramatically about this. It's only been what, one or two documented cases of this actually happening, though. So there's like maybe a 1% chance that this happens to her. And he's so dramatic about it.
I feel like that's pretty on par for Nectus.
That's, yes.
He's still, like, in my mind, just sexy dad.
That's. Yes, you've seen the art of him, the fan art. Oof.
Yeah. Sexy dad.
Yep.
Yeah. I forgot that he was in this story. And
Yeah.
basically everything that happened at the end of the War of Two Queens. Like, I broad strokes, I remembered We thought everybody died. They didn't actually die. It's like that fake out scene in the Twilight movie, right?
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. I don't.
Yeah, I forgot a lot of things.
I mean, even as we're talking about this, I'm like, oh gosh, that's right. I
Yeah. Like trying to remember, like, what is Colas? Like, why does he want to come back?
Yeah, wait, why does he want to come back in
I
this
don't
one?
know. I think it's just because he's terrible. Well, Poppy is like allegedly the primal of life and death, right?
Right. Oh, you know what? I was getting her mixed up with like Sarah or Sierra,
100%.
because I was thinking, oh, because she's the reincarnation of that girl, but she's not.
Yeah.
That's right. There's so much. I want Armin Trout to put a book out that just has all the information,
Yeah.
right?
Just
Like
tell me,
Tolkien.
don't make me figure it out. Just tell me. Tell me what is happening.
I need a refresher. Just tell me like why this is happening, and I need like a reference for the history and stuff, because at this point, who's whose father and mother and grandmother, and I
I
there's
also this also is a great example for why it's hard to read a series as it comes out instead of when it's already finished, and it's why I like
Yes.
reading series that are already finished. I don't It's been 6 months or longer since I was in this world. I don't know what's happening. I don't remember who anything is or what anybody did or what happened to I haven't thought about this in a while. I don't know, and I for sure don't want to go back and read it again.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs to put out a little book that just has, or even at the beginning, like previously on. Did I tell you that there was a book that I read, and I wish I could remember. There was a series I read that would do that. When the book came out, it was like just a refresher. Last time this happened.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was the Emerald Lake series. Maybe not. I don't know. There was a book series that I read where it did that.
Yeah,
And I
that's
would
a great idea.
so appreciate that if other authors did that, especially if we're waiting years in between, because War of Two Queens came out in 2022, but we're not expected to have another continuation of Poppy and Cass's story until either 24 or 25.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. Because the next book that's scheduled to come out in October is Miss Willis' story.
What?
Yeah. And then she can't finish Cass and Poppy's story before finishing Sarah and Nyctos? Nyctos, yeah. Without finishing their story. So she has to finish that series up first.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know when we're going to get another
It's hard to be a fan. Like I love being a fan, but
It is.
it's this is hard work, friends. To be
It
fair, we could go back and listen to our podcast episode.
is. Yes, which I recommend everybody do. Go listen to the
Yeah,
podcast
go
too.
listen to them. We've talked about all of these books. If you need a refresher, don't be like us and try to waffle your way through it. Go listen to it. Because we for sure talked about all this stuff. I just don't remember it. Oh, you felt like this book was funnier than the one from Poppy's point of view?
Yeah, I felt just in general, maybe it had more, I don't want to say personality to it, but maybe just because there was more social like there were more interactions with other people, it gave it more, maybe more depth or just more humor. Like there's this one scene where Kieran is torturing one of the Ascended, and he gets really dramatic and says, "You can call me Death." And Cass's response is essentially, "Wow, you're like an edge lord, aren't you?"
Yeah,
So,
well, and I think part of that could be just comparing Poppy's book to Cass's book. The only people that Poppy had to interact with were Victor and Tawny, and she spent a solid bit of time being beaten. So her storyline was pretty serious,
Yes.
and dark and sad,
Yeah.
and. She, I guess she wasn't allowed to socially interact with people. Like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And I see where you're coming from too. There's a lot more banter in this story as well, which is nice. I love Castiel and Kieran's friendship. I just love it so much. And I love that we really get to see a lot of their relationship in this story because it shows up through the lens of Poppy in the other books, but really being able to read. Poppy, no, Castiel's like interactions and feelings about Kieran and how much he like depended on him and the support that he got from him, especially after he like right after he had been released from the dungeons under Queen Ileana. I mean, it's just we get to see a lot of interaction from them, and I think it's really nice.
Yes. And the other thing, so we see their interactions in some of the other books, right? Obviously, it's mostly from Poppy's point of view. In the last book, we did see some interactions between them without Poppy. But what I really enjoyed about this was that they were completely separate from Poppy at this point. Like, Kieran didn't know her. So their conversations weren't influenced by knowing her, you know, as like, went on and it got more complicated and stuff. In the most recent books, a lot of the conversations naturally revolve around Cass and Poppy and Kieran and them as a group, right? But in this book, we got to see Cass and Kieran just be with each other and just have conversations with each other without Poppy even being like a factor in any of it. So it was sort of seeing, getting to see their relationship pre-Poppy, which I like to see.
I think it's really special. I feel like their friendship is one of the great things about this series. And especially this book, I think, shed some light on how hard it must have been for them to be separated when Castiel was being held prisoner. But also kind of getting a little bit of the perspective from Kieran on how hard it was, and how his friend changed after he experienced all of the trauma that he experienced. And we have more discussions about like the guilt and the shame that Castiel carries, and we get to see Kieran supporting him even now, years later, after Kieran or after Castiel has experienced those things and in to some extent made some peace with and worked through some of that, we still see him supporting him, which is great. Healthy male friendships, love that. And because we get to see so much of Castiel, I mean, we really get like deep perspective on the weight that he carries with all of the people that he has killed to try to free his brother to get to the point that he's at now so that he can help him and save him.
Yes. I found that to be very interesting, but I also, we see in the first book, and now we see it again in the, from Cass's point of view, Poppy uses her power on him, I guess, to soothe him when he's thinking about, you know, his brother and his guilt about all the terrible things. And we've never been on the receiving side of somebody who she's soothing, right? So it was interesting to see. He didn't even notice that it happened. It wasn't an obvious thing. He was just like, oh, I feel lighter. And he didn't make the correlation to Poppy at all. And so it was interesting to see the effect that she had on other people, you know, from their, from his point of view.
I totally forgot that that was one of the things that she could do
I
until over halfway in the book when they're in the Blood Forest and Eric is dying. And I was like, oh shit, that's right. She can do this. I totally forgot.
the beginning of the series, right, that she was always giving flavors to feelings. We don't get that really anymore, which I realized because now she has a whole bunch of other powers and stuff going on for her. But I miss that a little bit. I guess the simplicity of it, maybe. I don't know. I miss a little bit.
We still get lots of flavor, everything related to Poppy from Castiel's honeydew, so
Yes.
always the honeydew. I forget with Castiel it was like he tasted or smelled like snow and orange or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but yeah, that's true. Gosh, it's just been so long since any of that. I just some things that I forgot.
Yeah.
But with Castiel and seeing And this is something that he works through in the entire book, I think. You know, he talks about how he kills people, but he doesn't really think about it because he's like on this mission and he's bent on saving his brother. And he think he, like, he processes some of the, or doesn't process it, like he thinks back about all of the guilt that he experiences because he was freed, but Shay mysteriously died. We still have no idea what happened there. He killed her, it seems like, but there's still some big secret about it. And Malik being in his place, and then in real time, we see later in the book this confrontation between Castile and his brother. He was like, "Why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you send me a message? Why didn't you try to convey to me in some way that you were alive?" And like they're by choice. And I think that's re they have a really difficult conversation because Malik is like, "Look, if I had done this, would you have accepted it? If I had said I found my mate, would you have believed me? If I had said like I'm here by my choice, would that have stopped you? No, on all counts. Like you still would have come." And she and Isbeth or Ileana, she would have found you and she would have killed you. Like he talks about, Malik talks about how Castile kidnapping Poppy, like that wasn't part of the plan, but if that hadn't been part of the plan, Isbeth 100% would have killed him, right? And so we have this acknowledgement that like I could have done this, but you wouldn't have believed me and you would have come anyway. And then we have Castile, who's killed all of these people and sacrificed all of these things to free his brother, who was there by choice the entire time. So how do you balance having this mission, knowing I was doing this thing for this person, regardless of who was going to get killed and who was going to suffer because of this, with knowing that, okay, I did all of this stuff and he was choosing to be there the whole time?
There's also this really, actually, I think it happens twice, really sad part where Cass is thinking when he's holding Poppy, he was like, in another life, I would have been built for this. Oh. And I was like, oh, that's so sad.
It is. We see all of these feelings of like unworthiness. And there's another quote. It's near the end of the book because Kieran, so Castiel and Kieran are having these conversations about Poppy near the end of the book because like things progress. And Kieran is like, "What are you doing?" Kieran says to Castiel after he's questioning him about all of these feelings that he has for Cas or for Poppy, like, "What do you think lust and respect and admiration and caring for someone adds up to?" Talking about Cass's feelings for Poppy, and Cass is like, "Not me. I don't get to love people. Like, I this isn't for me. I don't get to have this." Like, we're looking at all of these feelings of unworthiness that Castiel has because one, this mission that he set himself up on, but two, he feels like he's done so much bad that he can't.
Sad.
Bad.
Sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think this book, because at the end of From Blood and Ash, not a lot of empathy to be had for Castiel. It kind of feels like he did Poppy wrong. Because he really fumbled things there at the end. But we also don't really get his perspective. And I think that because we do, we can still, in this book, we can still acknowledge, like, yeah, you really shot the plot here, but we can have some empathy for him because we understand the motivations behind his actions now.
When Poppy does discover that he's Castiel and not Hawk, how terrible he feels. Like, and then how he basically lets her beat him up a little bit because he feels so bad.
Like he's deserving of being punished. When we have stories that are told from the male main character's perspective, it's either like great or not. And I feel like this was done really well.
I agree. I think they're not a ton of books from like the male point of view that tend to deepen stories, I think. So I think this is a good example of one. The Bargainer
Wait.
Yes.
Yes, the bargainer had a really good one.
So good.
And then that one Hades and Persephone book where it was Hades'
Yes.
point of view.
Yeah, Scarlet St. Clair's book, A Game of Fate, I think is that one's called. Yeah. Yep.
So
So
those
good.
three really stuck out to me because there's it's not just look how pretty she
Regurgitation.
is, you know.
Boy, do I want to fuck her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christian Grey.
I've never read it from his point of view. I've only read excerpts from his point of view. He sounds like a crazy person.
Is.
Oh my God. Oh gosh. Yeah, he sounds like a psychopath or
This is
sociopath. Like
not okay. It's
nervous.
not okay.
No.
Not okay.
No. Terrible. Just terrible.
When I remembered that Poppy could feel other people's feelings, it made me think about how I completely missed that in the beginning of the book when they are going into the vault, basically looking for Poppy's father, Iris, who's being kept in a cage. They're all looking, they're all down there. I for real had no memory of what was going on at this point in the story. But there's a moment they find her father. He's in his cave cat form in a cage. Nectus helps to free him, and Poppy, in a moment of bravery and stupidity, like reaches her arm out and touches this starving, unwell cat. And I totally forgot that she could feel emotions and help people with their feelings until I read that part with Eric, and then I was like, oh, that's right. So she was probably comforting her dad and could feel his pain and his confusion and was feeding him good feelings to help him to get back to his human form. And this makes a whole lot more sense now than just girl touch cat. Like, I would be girl touch cat because I love cats. I would get my arm bitten off.
If not friend, why friend shape?
Yes, that's me. So, yes, this made a lot more sense when I remembered what Poppy was actually capable of doing.
Yeah, I thought she was just trying to soothe him, like in general, just be like, it's okay, sort of thing. And then, yes, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. She's probably actually like funneling feelings into him.
Yeah. That it makes sense when you remember all of the things. So we go back to the Red Pearl at the start of the story, which is where everything started. And it just really stood out to me that when Poppy walks into that room in Britta's cloak and Cass is noticing literally everything about Poppy that isn't like Britta but still thinks it's Britta. What are you doing, my dude?
He thinks that he was
What are
so
you doing?
drunk that he couldn't remember something, right? He's like, I'm
Yeah.
scared
What is
that
going on?
the
Yeah.
last person who was wearing this cloak who was beneath me didn't have these curves.
And smelled completely different and had a
Yeah.
totally different personality. And, But okay. But this scene, I feel like, was just as hot from his perspective, maybe even hotter, right?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Also, Cass is bisexual. Did we know this before? I can't
I
remember.
think
Or maybe
so.
pansexual. I feel like he mentioned having sex with people of different genders and same genders. Well, definitely different genders, but maybe same gender, but truly cannot remember if it was conclusive.
I'm pretty sure we knew. I'm, or maybe I just assumed.
Well, I knew that he mentioned having like group sexual encounters. But I don't know. Anyway, now we do know. Yay!
Yay,
Yay!
representation.
Love it. Love
Love
it, love it,
it.
love it, love it.
Yes.
Love it so much. Forgot somehow about some of the scenes with Jericho as well, where he tried to kidnap Poppy, where she cut him. But also, we get to see how angry Castiel is about this thing. About
Yes.
the situations with Jericho. Like, it was so intense, which I really loved. So when Jericho tries to take Poppy, which he thinks he's doing a good thing, even though it's going against Castiel's order, he tries to take Poppy. Poppy gets hurt. She stabs Jericho. And Castiel is furious. He shows up ready to kill him. Mm-hmm. And Kieran talks him out of killing Jericho in the tavern for hurting Poppy because, like, he ends up cutting off his hand. It was so, so, so intense, though. And I think it highlights what a really difficult position that Cass is in because, like, at this point, he started to realize, like, oh, Poppy is an actual person with feelings. Mm-hmm. And people just hate her because of what she symbolizes, himself included, and who he thought she was, which is everybody else. They all think that she's terrible. And is a symbol for the ascended when really she's just a girl with no choices who was put in a terrible position and is doing the best that she can. Mm-hmm. And he can have some empathy for her now and has perspective because he's been able to interact with her, but nobody else has. And so he's struggling to balance the cause that he is leading and his ultimate mission, which is to save his brother, with these new complicated feelings that he has now. And how hard he has to work to be careful about being perceived as liking Poppy versus just protecting her to maintain the balance with, like, the people that support him and not being seen as, like, having real feelings for her or liking her too much.
Yeah. I think he was in a tough spot with that, obviously. Yeah. You know, he didn't expect to like Poppy. Or really that she had any personality whatsoever. I think he assumed, I think he said that at some point too about her, like before meeting her or whatever, that he assumed she had no personality and just went along with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that she supported everything that they did. And mm-hmm. also that she had any idea what was actually happening.
Yeah. Yep.
She was just a girl being used.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see him realize that.
Yes. And what I like is, so before he even manages to get close to Poppy, right? Obviously, he's keeping a very close eye on her. He notices what she does. So he notices that she goes to that funeral for Rylan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Rylan. And he's like, oh, she probably doesn't realize, like, what this means to people. She is clearly upset when the Tullises come and they're like, hey, can we keep our kid? And the Duke and Duchess are like, no, fuck you. You gotta give us your kids so that we can eat it or whatever they do. She was, like, visibly uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's picking up on these subtle cues, I guess,
yeah,
of her, and realizing before he even gets closer, he's like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
She's a person.
She's a real human. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got real feelings. I think, you know, when we read the book through Poppy's perspective, we, to some extent, see the dehumanization that other people treat her with, like, right, the way that they dehumanize her.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see that to some extent. But I really think that that's highlighted reading this through Castiel's perspective, because he felt those things too. He felt that before, and he can see where other people feel that as well, because that's the same in his perspective changes.
Mm-hmm.
But because he felt those things, he can see where other people feel that too. And so, we see this, and this happens throughout the book, this struggle that he experiences with, like, just wanting her to be a symbol of the ascended,
mm-hmm.
versus recognize and then trying to create distance with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets to know her and his feelings change, but at the same time he's struggling with, like, nope, I'm just gonna treat her like I was trying to treat her before, and he can't. Well, and throughout the story, what I like is that when he decides that he can't anymore, he really starts to call attention to her personhood, right? He uses her actual name. When he takes the oath, he takes the oath to Poppy, not to the maiden. He treats her like a person with feelings, and he takes into account her feelings when they do things. So I think that that's important. He acknowledges her, and this is something that he stresses to Victor, that he cares about her, not her role.
So we know the dehumanization of her that way, but also we get to see a little bit of the how she was idolized too. You know, I don't know if she, I'm trying to remember if in the first book there was a, oh, like she's clearly like loved and all this stuff by these people, you know, and it's like, yeah, they like respected her, but when Cass goes around trying to ask about her, people are just kind of like, oh yeah, whatever, she's amazing. Or not whatever, that she's amazing, and then they're also really hush hush about her, and then because they know that she is the one, no they don't, maybe they do know that she's the one who comes to the people in distress,
yeah,
after they've been bitten too.
Yeah.
So the people of Macedonia, right, they love her for what she symbolizes, but also for what she's done, some of them.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that contrast, you know. We've got these people who completely dehumanize her and hate her because she's a symbol, and then these other people who just the opposite, love her for what she symbolizes.
Oh, and we get Castiel's like catchphrase maybe for Poppy or whatever. Catchphrase is not the word, but like his significantly notable word. You're an absolutely stunning, murderous little creature. Ooh, it's still so hot.
Yes, one of the best. I mean, that's on so many like things that are sold, like blankets and mugs and stuff, because it's so, it's just so good. But the other thing kind of going on, because he says a lot of that sort of like so vicious, you know. He's cheeky with her that way. I really enjoyed seeing his reactions, being like, she threw a dagger at my face, but then he would be like, so cute. Like I pictured, like, you know, this little anime, like being like, so cute. She stabbed me in the chest, but so cute.
So I thought it was interesting. We have a couple of scenes with Cass and Kieran where the sexy times are happening or about to happen. But specifically, we have this one scene at the Red Pearl where Cass and Kieran are about to meet. Cass walks in. Kieran is actively having sex with someone. So Cass just like sits down on the couch, like, no, just wait. And we have Cass imagining group sex with Kieran and Poppy. It was pretty early on in the story, which I think was interesting. One, because despite Cass's best efforts, like, he can't deny his attraction to Poppy. But also, I think it just demonstrates kind of like how early on they were kind of all tied together. Even though Kieran didn't really know anything about Poppy at that point, Cass was already imagining them going there.
Oh, I hope we get a throuple.
I hope we get a throuple. I am so on board with that. After how little detail we were given in the War of Two Queens about the joining, like, I, please, please, I want them all to date each other. I want, like, if we're asking for the big things that we want here, I want Castile and Kieran having sex with each other. I don't know if that's going to happen, though, because they're both so, like, bossy and dominant. I feel like neither one of them can top the other, but...
I think I said this last time, was that I would love a scene where Poppy is directing Kieran and Cass what to do.
Yeah.
Would love that.
Give me a man-man blowjob.
Yeah, something.
Hand job, like anything. Just rub your penises together. Have a sword fight. Just something, please. Please do something, please.
Yes. I wish you would write, because I know there are so many people who are objected to the joining and the throuple and stuff. I kind of wanted her to write, like, a detailed scene for those of us who were not against it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's sort of the, like, kid version of it. Yeah. And here's the NC-17 version of it for the rest of us perverts, I guess.
The kid version. The PG version. And then here's the NC-17 version. 100%. I've read an author who did that before. She wrote two different chapters. One of them was like the PG version of it. And then one of them was the explicit, very descriptive version of it for people who wanted those kinds of scenes. We are those people. We want those scenes.
Yes. Please.
Rub your dicks together. Please. Are they circumcised? I can't remember. Do
I
some
don't know if it's
docking. Can
ever
we do that?
mentioned.
I don't remember. Like, please. I want that stuff. I love that stuff. It's my favorite stuff. Please write those stories.
Yes.
I saw a comment in one of the groups that I'm in where it was someone who was like, I'm just not really about the throuple and the joining and the things like that. Like, I just think it's like, are we still having this conversation? Like, you get to have the feelings that you want to have. Okay, fine. But my feelings are, I want a
Wrong.
Kieran sandwich, okay?
I just, they're all so good together. I couldn't imagine throwing another person in there. Because I don't think, I know the theory has been going around about it being tawny, but
No.
I don't
What?
see it.
Ew. Nope. I don't want it.
No.
I don't like
I
it.
just can't, I can't imagine somebody even entering into a relationship with Kieran with having the relationship that he has with like Poppy and Cass, you
Yeah.
know? Like, that's a hard little circle to break into there. But I don't.
But also, like, we are 5 books into the story right now. I just can't see, because there's only supposed to be one more story, right? One more book in this
Think she was
series.
gonna do six, like from Poppy, like six normal ones, and then his point of view. So I think we have two
Okay.
more, like of the main storyline.
Okay. Ooh, but we're so deep into their relationship at this point. Yeah, I can't see them add, I can't see her adding another person and it meshing.
Not at all. I mean, she's either going to need to have, I don't think you can separate the three of them
No.
unless something happens where they're literally separated from each other for some reason, like in the last book, right? I can't imagine them doing that. I mean, he comes and cuddles with them at night. It's so cute.
It's
Ugh.
adorable. They're adorable. I can't stand it. I want a throuple. Like, give me this. Get I would take it.
Ugh.
One of them turns into a wolf that I can cuddle with. I would never get cold again. How amazing would that be? And then one of them turns into a cat. Spoiler. We'll talk about it. But like, you got a cat on one side and a wolf on the other side.
Ooh, it'd be so nice and warm.
You would be so warm.
So warm. And they have fur, so it'd be kind of comfy too that way. There's no like hair getting in your face or anything like that. It's just like soft fur. Rest your head on.
Till they start shedding.
Well.
I assume wolves do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. Maybe that's not a thing. So we get Castile's perspective on the right.
Yeah, so I
That was
didn't.
great.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was so great, especially because he had orchestrated it to be nonviolent and it went way off the rails with that. Didn't go as planned.
No. But it was so good to read, though.
Yeah, it was.
When even he is like, I this wasn't. I mean, okay, I guess we can do this, but this wasn't really what I was going for. Yeah. What we do get as part of this scene is we get to see Castiel approaching the Duke. So Castiel just hanging out in the Duke's office and the retribution that he seeks on Poppy's behalf. How he canes him with the cane from like the Blood Forest or the, what is it, Bloodwood?
Yeah,
Bloodwood?
something like
That's
that.
not, I don't know, some kind of special wood. It was so gratifying.
Yes, we've said it before. She just writes amazing, like, revenge scenes.
Yes.
They're so good. And I was so glad we got this one because, you know, in the first book, we got to see, oh, he's dead with canes, like, speared through him, right? But this, we actually got to see him be scared. I think he pees himself. Does he pee himself? Maybe I just inserted that into my head because I thought it would be more interesting.
You know, he might. No, I can't remember.
And then he gets beaten with a cane for a long time. Ah, it's just great. I love when people get what they deserve.
They had it coming.
He really had it coming.
He really did. He really did. And so did, what is it, Lord Mazeen?
Oh,
Also
yeah.
really gratifying. This, I mean, just carnage. Like, it was, I feel like Poppy kind of blacked out maybe when we were reading about it from her perspective, but
Yes.
seeing it from Castile's perspective, she just filleted him.
Yes. I know. I, because I was thinking about that too. From her point of view, I just remember her being like so angry and grief-stricken that she like lashed out at him, like, launched herself at him, and it was bloody, but I don't remember specifically what happened. It could be just that it was so long ago
Yeah.
that I read this. But yeah, it was good seeing the detail with this one. And then he does, he puts her to sleep with
Yeah.
his, I'm assuming, Vulcan death grip or Vulcan thing. That's what it made me think of.
Do you want to talk about the willow tree scene?
Yes, I love the willow tree scene. So it's one of my favorites in the series. It's one of my favorite scenes. So it's the Night of the Rite, and Poppy is basically like, take me back to my room because there's nothing I can do here anyway. I'm not allowed to interact with people. Tawny, I let her go and do her thing instead of being stuck with me. So Cass, he's like, well, why don't we go to the gardens or whatever? And so they end up going to the willow tree, and there's a bench under there. And, we know that she used to play there with her brother. And at this point, it's probably the most like intense sexual scene we've gotten at this point, right? She's basically grinding on his leg, right? And we also, he's able to, I like this, he mentions that he's able to like have a full smile, even though it would show off his fangs because it's pitch black in there. Yeah, it's just always been one of my favorite scenes. But it's interesting from his point of view. He mentions that he's holding her hand, but she's not holding his. And I thought it was interesting because she is really touch starved, right? That she wouldn't hold his hand back, but I think it's so much of it had to do with to the fear of being caught with that. But she didn't pull away either. She was such, I feel like she was in a place where she wanted it. She knew she wanted it, but was scared to show it and scared to verbalize it as well.
Internal conflict for sure.
I just love that scene. It's so cute.
It is. It's a good one.
Yeah, and then it gets ruined.
Yeah, Victor shows up.
I have such conflicted feelings about Victor.
Please say more.
So, Victor is sort of a father figure to Poppy, right? He's taught her how to fight and use a bow and all this stuff and use a dagger. But despite all of that, he's still like, we'll sacrifice her when the time comes. And oh, that just drives me up the wall, especially because he, I think he has his own doubts, right? He knows, like it's not completely on the up and up. And that, I just haven't, like, he was there for Poppy emotionally, sort of, but at the same time, is he really that good? I
She was being abused,
know.
beaten
And he didn't do
semi-regularly. He
anything.
did nothing to protect her.
Right. So he's, she's seeing him as his father. Like, so that's, I feel so bad for her that, okay, she's seeing this person as her father figure and he's not protective of her. And his half-assed apology at the end, I'm sorry, I should have protected you. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
failed you as a man.
Yeah, you did. Ugh. I have such, like, I'm glad that she had somebody who taught her, and who she felt emotionally connected to, I guess. But I hate that he let her be abused. He didn't actually stand up for her, and he didn't give her the tools to stand up for herself or help her that way. I don't know. And then we find out anyway, he's not a person. He's a fate. So I guess, wait, what is he?
He's a
No.
victor. He's
He's a
still a
victor.
person, right?
Do victors know they're victors?
I don't know if they know they're victors. I
Well,
don't know if they
anyway.
know they're victors or if they just feel drawn to protect someone.
Yeah. I don't know. But okay, who is the fate, though?
That was Sierra's guard slash trainer and protector.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's where I'm getting that mixed up with.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it would be different if he knew he was a victor, right? And he was protecting her specifically for this cause, sort of thing. Like, but he's just a man, you know, being shitty.
My feelings about Victor
Mm-hmm.
are really not that complex, I don't think. I'm glad that Poppy had someone, because Tawny still kind of feel like is a crap friend. Victor helped her, still kind of crap. I feel bad about Victor's death because of the impact that it has on Poppy.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because we see it from Castiel's perspective, and he feels so bad too. He has so much like guilt and pain on her behalf, and recognizes that although this thing that he, like with the right, this chain of events wasn't what he expected because of what he was trying to accomplish, it resulted in Victor's death, which ultimately hurt Poppy, which is not what he was trying to accomplish.
Right.
I felt pretty bad about Victor's death when I read it from Poppy's perspective, but now that I'm reading it from Castiel's, I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
We deserve better than a half-assed guardian who let her be beaten.
Yep. Yeah. And I think doesn't he get reincarnated or something? Do Victors all get reincarnated? I
I
don't.
don't know if they get reincarnated.
I don't remember. Now I have to go. That's in the other series.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if we think about it, Victor could have told Commander Jansen that Poppy was being abused, right? He could have written to Queen Ileana, right? Isbeth. He could have written to her grandmother, Poppy's grandmother. He could have done some things.
He didn't try.
Yeah. He just kind of accepted what was happening.
And even so, after the willow tree, right, he has this interaction with Cass where he says, remember, he either like remember what you have with you. I feel like it's what he says, and I think Cass's response was, I know who I have with me.
Yeah.
And that's just completely shows the distinction that they have, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this quote where it's Cass saying like that this is something that his father would have said or repeatedly said. Just because one starts out on the right side of history doesn't mean they remain there. And what I like about this quote, what I find interesting, is because it could be interpreted several ways. It could be interpreted with, okay, you start off on the right side of history and then you become corrupt and end up, you know, being bad that way, or society changes around them and the right side becomes the wrong side, you
That's a
know.
good point.
And then it's followed, I think it's the next chapter where Cass is thinking about the events that led him to Poppy and how the world may have been better if different choices were made. But then he wouldn't have Poppy in his life, which I
Yeah.
also like because I think we've all probably had that thought of, oh, if X hadn't happened, then this would be better, but I also wouldn't be where I was now, sort of thing.
Right. I think about that sometimes as it relates to my brother who died, right? Like, what if he had lived?
Yeah.
Where would we be?
I always wonder because there are very distinct moments that I remember in my life that were, my life could have gone completely different direction, right? One was what college I chose. The other one was moving back to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like these were two very like distinct choices. And I wonder, obviously, I wonder sometimes, like, what if I had chosen to go to that college in Maryland? Or what if I had chosen to stay in Jersey and work at Victoria's Secret?
Yeah.
Like, where would I be? I don't know. That's why I like believing in the multiverse theory.
Oh.
There's some Vicky out there who worked for Victoria's Secret. I'm the Vicky that went to Arkansas, but there's another one out there somewhere in the multiverse.
Okay.
What do you think about the, well, that one's kind of a track, like the multiverse theory. Do you ever think about that? Like, okay, there's a world maybe out there where this didn't happen.
No, I don't really think about that. I more think about like the other worlds that are layered on top of ours or just around ours. I think I've shared with you the theory that I read about how ghosts in our world aren't really real, but when we experience supernatural like events like that, it's there's a thin spot between our worlds where someone's maybe
Yes.
coming through on our side, or I would imagine us going through on the other side. So
Yes,
I
I
don't
like that
really.
theory too.
Yeah, I think that that's an interesting idea. I mean, why not entertain ideas like that? The multiverse hasn't really occurred to me. Although that does kind of happen in an episode of Doctor Who. So after the rite and all of the chaos, they make plans for Poppy to, go to, I think it's Carcedonia, where the Blood Kingdom is based, basically, like their capital or something. Obviously, they're not going there. But Castiel is responsible for escorting Poppy with this company of people that has been assembled. And we get this description of Poppy that I really like, where Castiel is viewing her and she is unveiled and the sun is in her face and the wind is in her hair for the wind is in her hair for the first time in years. And the way that he describes her is great, but it just really made me think about how liberating that must be and how free she must feel in that moment, but also how claustrophobic it must have felt to have to wear the same clothes every day and have your face covered every day for years and years and years, anytime you were going to step outside of your room.
Yeah. I remember in the first book reading that scene from Poppy's point of view about how good it felt to have that, be able to feel the wind again and feel the sun on her face.
The little scenes like this, and then also some of the bigger scenes, just really highlight the care that Castiel had, the feelings that Castiel had for Poppy that he wasn't really aware of, or was just like straight up denying. But like, if he didn't care about her, he wouldn't care about how she felt in the sun. He wouldn't care about how free she must have felt. And he's like trying to create this distance in his mind and feel like he doesn't love her, but dude, you're already there.
At least he doesn't take out his emotions on Poppy being all mad about having feelings. You make me feel things. Now I don't like you because of it.
At least there's that. Jennifer Armentrout is really good at writing sexy scenes. Much talent. Which is, again, probably why that scene with the joining in the last book was so frustrating, because she's so good at just writing this scene where Poppy is getting like fingered through her clothes. The scene in the Blood Forest. They're cold. Castiel is laying next to Poppy to keep her warm, and he's just like fingering her through her clothes. And it is so hot. And the scene at the end of the book where they have sex in the snow, so hot. But so in the forest, Castiel like whispers to her and he says, because if I get any part of me in you, every part of me would be in you. And I want to hear every sound you make when that happens. Like, oh my gosh.
I love the talk. Sorry. Yeah. All yeah. I enjoy all of the sex scenes in this book. They're just like unique too. Like because I the scene in the Blood Forest where he fingers her over her clothes, that doesn't sound like it would be sexy, right? Like if that's what I said, like, oh yeah, I went on this date last night and this happened. No. But she writes it and it's hot.
Yes. Like we slept on the ground in the woods and I was freezing. Yeah. But it's so good. And that's, I think that, like, yeah, you can write a scene with penis and vagina penetration. And we've talked about this so many times on the show, but like, yeah, you can write a scene with penis and vagina penetration and it's great. And I'm going to be there for it. But if you can take a scene that doesn't involve that and make it just as hot and make me feel like just as aroused by it, you're doing the Lord's work. Like that, I feel like that takes a lot of talent. Or even just like the scene in the will under the willow, for example. It was super hot.
We didn't do much more than kiss in that scene.
Yeah. She's just like grinding on him a little bit. It's not even a full-on kiss because he's trying to hide his fangs. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. In the Blood Forest, we see Kieran start to take an interest in Poppy. Like, Kieran knows that there's something about Poppy that's special because of the way Castiel acts. He hasn't met her really at this point, but he knows that there's something going on because Castiel is not acting like he is anticipated to act. And so Kieran offers Poppy his cheese, and he discourages Castiel from sleeping with her, and he says like she doesn't deserve how that will fuck with her. And so I wonder if he's being like considerate of Poppy just because of his friendship with Cass and not wanting Castiel to feel shame or guilt for how sleeping with Poppy would impact her, or if he's starting to feel like some kind of way about her at this point.
Yeah. I think pretty early on he likes Poppy. Like they almost immediately, like once that cheese thing happens, they fall into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And they spend a lot of time alone together too in the next book. He's her guard.
Yeah.
Right? And I just feel like it seems like a natural development.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think to begin with, he approached Poppy with a more open mind than the other Atlanteans may,
Yeah.
because Cass liked her.
Yeah, because of Castile.
Yeah. So he was already kind of open-minded going into it. Then he was like, all right, she can have my cheese.
That's so sweet. I love cheese so much.
Should be on a questionnaire when you start to date or on those dating apps. What are your feelings about cheese?
Yeah.
Instead of one of those, if you're not 6 foot tall, swipe left or right. I don't know. It's if you don't like cheese, swipe the opposite direction.
Don't even try.
Don't.
Don't talk to me.
Oh. Lactose intolerant, not welcome. That's so terrible. That's not true.
So that's not
That's,
fair because you
no,
can't
that's not
control
fair. You
people's
can't
process
control
of
it. Also, they
lactose.
assume. I know, but I was just thinking, a more lactose intolerant person is going to come across that.
Maybe you love cheese, but it gives you the shits. Like that's not your fault.
That's true. I mean, I'd rather, yeah, anyway. Yes, we're not discounting lactose intolerant people in this.
You can still
I think,
apply.
yes, I think they also don't they make like dairy-free cheeses and stuff?
I don't know. I've never looked into that. I don't have a
I
dairy
know for
problem.
sure I've seen
I want to say
dairy-free
that you
ice
can take,
cream.
can you take like a pill or something that helps you
Probably.
process lactose? I think that you can.
Yeah. Yeah. So see, there's medicine for that. The
Yeah.
straight up not liking cheese though, that's a red flag.
Character flaw.
Yeah. Red flag.
They make it to New Haven. There's a lot of drama. Again, with Jericho. Poppy almost dies. Well, no, she doesn't almost die in this. No, yeah, she almost dies.
It's a little bit later. A
Yeah,
little bit
Poppy
later on,
almost
but yeah.
dies. Yeah, later on. But Cass and Poppy have penis and vagina intercourse. After Castiel has told Kieran, like, nope, not gonna do it, they do it. But what I like about this scene is we have slow and easy first attempts at vaginal penetration, and I love that shit. And I probably said the same thing when it happened in For Blood and Ash, and I will say it every single time we get one of these scenes because there are still so many that I read when someone is having sex for the first time or the 50th time, and the penis is just like rammed into the vagina.
And then, of course, the girl orgasms immediately.
Immediately. Such
Immediately.
pleasure. Wow. Like,
No.
Boo boo, it is not like that for a lot of folks. I love it when it's slow and easy and not aggressive, especially first attempts at sex. Castiel is also having sex with Poppy under false pretenses, and I still feel like it reads a little bit sketchy. I know that he really struggles with telling her who he
Yeah.
is and trying to find the right time and doing it the right way. And it's
Yeah.
not as bad reading it from his perspective again because we have different perspective and empathy and things like that. But I remember having a little bit of a struggle with this when I read it from Poppy's perspective.
Because
she was so hurt.
Yes. But see, I didn't stay that mad at it. Like, the first time I read it, I was like, but then she, like, stabs him in the heart,
Yeah.
pretty much. And I, meh. And after that, I was just like, all right, she was also able to emotionally hurt him too. Not only did she stab him in the chest, you know, like her not, like she was able to like say stuff to him that hurt him
Yeah.
emotionally. And I love that. That's mean. I should go to a therapist.
I mean, I get what you're saying, though.
But
I want him to hurt.
yes.
Even though he's already hurting so much.
I know.
What's a little more, I guess? I don't know. So by the time they get to New Haven, Castiel is like firmly in the we can't just sacrifice Poppy camp, right? He is actively trying to figure out how to save her. And so I think it's interesting how when he's figuring this out, he's thinking like, well, okay, we'll trade her to the Blood Queen. And then I'll just sneak into the castle and then sneak back out of there again.
Super easy, no
Yeah,
problem.
super easy. While at the same time he's acknowledging like it's basically impossible to get in and out of there. And the last time he got in there, he was imprisoned for 50 years. And when he got out, his brother was then imprisoned. Like, this is an impossible situation, but he is entertaining the idea of trading her to Isbeth and then sneaking into the castle and sneaking back out. Like, you don't do that for people that you don't love. So he fell in love with her much sooner than he realized or was willing to acknowledge himself if he's even considering putting himself back in that situation again. And then it's interesting because he still did end up back in Isbeth's dungeon because of Poppy.
Oh, he's in denial for sure because he
Oh, yeah.
also knows he's also dealing with how his people are going to react with it, right? We were talking about that earlier,
Yeah.
how that's going to happen. And then I just his solution, right? I still to this day I don't mind. I mean, it's how the book went, but so he bites her, right?
Yep.
Tastes her blood and is like, oh, she's part Atlantean. This will save her. I can marry her now. And it's just like that's where you went with that. Not that's
Just get
jump
married.
straight to that. Okay.
Yep, that's how you solve the problems.
It's a logical leap there.
Yeah. Just jump straight to that. We do see. This scene happens in this story, and it does not happen in From Blood and Ash. So, from Castiel's perspective, Alistair's minion, Orion, he shows up. He's read
Yes.
Castiel's mail. Castiel's real pissed. He removes his still beating heart from his body, punches his hand straight into his chest, and pulls it out and squeezes it in front of his face. What? Like, why am I weirdly aroused by this?
I
Why do I find that so attractive?
remember he ripped out the spine of that
Like,
other guy? Like,
why is this hot?
find yourself a guy who will rip out body parts in your defense.
I mean, but not really, but kind of.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why is this? Why do I like this so much? I don't know. No, I don't know. I didn't realize that they were full on planning to behead Poppy.
Yep, missed that part too. I thought they
Yeah,
were
that
just
was
trying to
wild.
cabinet
Yeah.
didn't
100% wanted to cut her head off and send it back to the queen. That's And then I still have like the so again, finding someone who will rip out a spine for you. Like the feminist parts of me. Where do they go?
Oh, it doesn't apply when you're reading these books.
Yeah.
Doesn't apply.
Castiel says to Kieran, "She is mine." I'm like, I want to yours. So in our flashback, like back and forth, in the real time chapters, in the present chapters, they have several conversations, it seems like, where Castiel and Kieran are. So Kieran's like, "So when are you gonna tell her about what happened to Shay?" And he's like, "No, I'll wait until she wakes up." Like, what happened to Shay?
I thought, so I knew, we know he killed her, but for some reason I thought, like, I assumed that he just, like, ripped her to total shreds. Like, she was in her woven form. I don't know where I got this from. I could be wrong. but that she was in her woven form and he just like destroyed her, right? Which I also think is kind of backed up by when he's chasing Poppy into the woods and he says, like, he's thinking about Shay and like, oh no, this is gonna happen again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could have sworn that was some, I don't know, maybe I just made it up in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or was she pregnant? That could be a thing. I don't know. The only thing I can really think of anyway is that he like killed her in a horrible way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Karen is like, Poppy will understand.
Yeah.
So I said that I wanted to do, it would be interesting anyway, to do a read side by side, right? Because there's a conversation between Cass and his brother, right? Where he says that Cass always took his studies more seriously. He was prepared to be king over him. But then I was thinking, in the first or second book, didn't Kieran specifically say that Cass was like a troublemaker?
I sure don't remember.
I could have sworn that that was part of it, especially because Cass didn't want to be king.
Yeah.
So why would he also be so dedicated to his studies, I guess? I don't know. I could have sworn it was the opposite.
Yeah, I don't remember. Near the end of the book, we get to a story, we get to a chapter where Cass and Poppy get attacked by a revenant. And so I think we learned at some point that the only way to kill a revenant is with the blood of a dragon. I think that's what Millicent and Malik say. This revenant is using the bones of ancients as weapons. And now I don't really know what an ancient is anymore. That's not a primal? Is that a level above a primal?
I don't know. Remember she was kept in chains at some point? They were special chains.
Yes. Are they the chains? Ancients? Or primals?
Were they? I thought they were. Weren't they bones?
I think they were bones. But whose bones?
The ancients, obviously, Marissa.
Okay, but are the ancients? Are they like dead primals? Like what?
I have no idea.
I feel like Jennifer Lawrence meme. Like, what do you mean? What does this mean? We're 5 books in this series, 3 in the other, and I still don't really know what this means.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe just dead gods. Or the original. I mean, but that doesn't make sense. Well, no, because Nyctos's dad is dead. So maybe he would be considered an ancient. Maybe. And right? Because they do.
He was the primal of. Was he the primal of life?
Or death? Yeah, he was the primal of life, and then Colas was the primal of death, and then they switched.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what the ancients are. We are not your experts on this, friends. I'm sorry.
If anybody knows, please tell us.
Yeah, please inform us. But anyway, so this bone of god weapon or ancient weapon, mm-hmm. it can kill a god. It can incapacitate a primal. Is Cass a primal now? Is that what's happened? Because he and Poppy and Kieran joined. They have like the same like life force abilities as she. So Cass is like a primal. So if he gets stabbed with this thing, obviously he doesn't die because he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens? I know that their lives are like all tied.
Yes. Yeah, their lives are all tied. So they'll, like, Cass and Kieran will probably, they'll live as long as Poppy does, and Poppy's immortal, so they're immortal.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of him being a, do they ever mention if he or Kieran ever feel more powerful once Poppy becomes a primal? Like, I mean, he turns into a cat, which is, you know, her dad turned into a cat.
Yeah.
So, and he's a primal, right? Is her dad a primal? No.
Her dad this is makes a god.
No. Oh my god, that's right. Her dad's a god.
Yes, and so is Malik, I think.
So maybe he's a god?
Maybe he's, I don't know. I want to say, I feel like I read somewhere that because They're bonded to Poppy. Like, they get some of the same things as her. So, like, Poppy's a primal. It would incapacitate her to be stabbed with this thing. So, same goes with Cass. Like, it wouldn't kill him, I guess. I just found myself being a little bit confused by that. But also, that scene was super wild because Cass is like, nope, you're not going to incapacitate me. And he turns into a cave cat. Super not expecting that to happen.
So that was a twist.
It was quite a
Love
twist.
that scene.
Yep.
Especially when Karen and what's his face, the one who
Oh,
always
yeah.
kind of flirts with
Emil.
Poppy, Emil, yeah. They come in and Cass is he's on the bed right over Poppy guarding her. And he when Karen's like trying or Karen's trying to talk him down. Just love
Yeah.
that scene because he's like, Emil, you gotta go. And Emil's like, what? Why? He's like, you gotta leave.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're talking.
Through their bond, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it must be talking through their bond because that's another part where he goes, mine. And he goes, you're mine too.
Yeah.
He's not mine. He's
I'm gonna
not
eat him.
ours. Yeah, I'm gonna eat him. That was such a good scene.
Yeah.
Really like.
And apparently Poppy can also shift into a cave cat too. I guess that's going to be one of the things that she develops in the next book as well, because Kieran makes a comment about how they're going to be intolerable with them both being able to shift.
Now
Yeah.
all three of them are.
Yeah, all of them. I'm so jealous. I want to shift into something. I have a question. So Cass turns into a cave cat and shreds, like destroys that revenant, right? So, revenants, regardless of what you do to them, they come back. So, if a human shifts into a cave cat and eats a revenant and revs regenerate, and the cave cat turns back into a human, what happens to the revenant? Does it reform as a human inside of the human stomach, or as a revenant inside of the person's stomach? And then do we have this like internal explosion because you've eaten a revenant? Like, what happens? How does this work?
I've had that thought, not just about this, but about other things where if they eat humans in, their
Yeah.
shifted form and then they shift back, like, what? How does it,
How does
anyway?
this work?
I don't know.
What is the science behind
Yeah, this is definitely one of those things. 'Cause I thought about it too when we covered that book in the Black Dagger Brotherhood. There's that guy who turns into a beast.
Oh, yeah,
And
that's right.
eats other things, and that,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, Arya in the series by Emilia Hutchins, she turns into her beast form. It eats like a whole village of people.
Yeah, and then she turns back.
Yeah.
There don't seem to be any consequences.
I just wondered, because the revenant's gonna regenerate. So Cass asked the question, like, should we gather the bits of him that are left and like stick it in a prison cell? Like, what's gonna happen? I want to know. I need to know the science.
Maybe he just has to stay in cat form until
He
stomach
digests.
acid. Yeah.
Well, and then like bodily functions, right? So he's gonna have a bowel movement eventually. Is he gonna shit out a revenant? Like,
Oh my God. I'm just picturing like a whole ass other human coming out
and then the book ends with Poppy waking up. Alas, not how you thought it was going to wake up. Or I guess maybe good thing because you weren't happy about that. But she wakes up, but her eyes are like full primal eyes, just like silver. Iridescent, there's a crack on the floor, like there's a symbol. She wakes up, but she's not, Poppy's not home. The primal is home
Right.
of life and death, I think.
So she's still Poppy. Wait, did I misread the last bit of the book?
No, she's still Poppy, she's just Poppy as a primal.
Yeah. I have to say, it was kind of sad when he says that there's no trace of Dewey Green. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to be like that always.
No, I know. They're just kind of sad.
She'll get her green eyes back.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Do you have any favorite quotes?
Oh, well, I liked this one.
Mm-hmm.
Bravery and strength do not equal goodness.
That's good.
Yeah,
I
I like
like
it. I feel like it's those are things that a lot of times people value.
that.
But they don't necessarily mean you're doing right or you're doing good.
Yep.
Even villains are brave.
That's true.
Yeah.
They have to be brave and have the audacity to be villains.
That's right.
The genius of audacity.
What about you?
So I have, from this moment until the last moment, I am yours. And like, I know this comes when he's becoming Poppy's guard, so it's not really like romantic, but it holds true to the book so far. He says, from this moment until the last moment, I am yours. And it's just so, such good line.
Yeah, it totally is. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up A Soul of Ash and Blood by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Join us next time. We'll be discussing Gideon the Ninth by Tamsin Ure. This is the first book in a series. It's the Locked Tomb series. And it is book one. So join us next time. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Literary Quest. We hope you enjoyed our episode. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we can be found at Literary Quest Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You're also welcome to share your thoughts and ideas with us via email at literaryquestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.